So, happy March, by the way. It's sunny outside. Spring is coming. I don't know if anybody realizes this, but the Tigers actually play. They don't really play, but they're going to be at Comerica Park in a month. So, it's all looking good, man. We're on the upswing. So anyway, this is about the halfway point in this series of reading and studying the Bible. And so what I wanted to do, you know, we've had some time off. I mean, we had Andy Johnson here last week, and so we haven't had a consistent, you know, weeks, you know, since I started. So I just thought I would take like a halftime review here of where we're at, where we've been, you know, the things that we've covered, and also talking about what's coming up going forward in the remainder of the series. And, you know, sort of like Bert just prayed a minute ago, he said he's, you know, we're just glad that we're here. And to be honest, I thought about, you know, this lesson, and it's a different thing when you're talking about, you know, Bible study tools and using them and stuff like that. It's not really like cracking open, you know, like Bert's going to do after I'm done First Peter and doing exegetical or, you know, getting into the Word. It's a little bit different. We're talking about tools. And to Bert's point about, you know, we're just glad that we're here, I just want to say that it dawned on me as I was thinking about this that, like, I couldn't actually teach this lesson everywhere. Like, you guys in this church you know, our ability to sit and listen to some tactical stuff like this is just encouraging to me because it means that we're actually the church, we're the body, and it's like we're not here to be entertained, you know, by some teacher that's going to make us all feel good and he's whatever. You know, like we're actually like rolling up our sleeves and just talking about some practical things. So it's just encouraging to me. So I just thought I'd mention that. So I thank Bert for mentioning that in prayer. So where have we been? So just a real quick flyover of where we've been. Week one, we discussed if we actually want to read and study the Bible more. And then we also mentioned that this series really isn't like the fix-it, fix-all kind of thing that, you know, we're all going to walk out of here with this transformation that, you know, solves all of our problems. And now all of the reasons why we never wanted to really spend more time in the Word before, now we do, and all that's solved and fixed, you know, once and for all. And now we're like super-duper Bible study people and all that. You know, we talked about that. As a side note to that, the point of the whole series isn't to fix things, for instance, but it's to improve things so that no matter where we're at, whether you're somebody in this class who really isn't familiar with your Bible much at all, or you're somebody in a class who, you know, has formal Bible training, the point is to try to encourage us all to move forward wherever we're at to understand, you know, the Bible more. We also did a poll in week one, which said the two main reasons that we don't read and study the Bible more in this class is because we're lazy and because reading and studying the Bible just really isn't a priority. So those were the two main things. In week two, we looked at why God says we should read and study the Bible, reasons like combating personal sin, reasons like, you know, we're on mission for the gospel, we're on mission to love and serve Christ, you know, reasons for sanctification, reasons like we're at spiritual war and we need to realize that as we go through our lives. And then also just because we love the purity of the Bible and we love how it can bring us closer to Christ and knowing Him more and loving Him more. So that's really the chief reason why we want to get into the Bible. In week three, we looked at the characteristics of the Bible and the miraculous history that it has of being written over so many centuries by so many people in so many places around the world, and yet it still has this very common theme that is consistent from beginning to end, and how that is literally divine. We looked at that. And then we also looked that week at how the Bible has just undergone such you know, opposition and persecution. It's been, you know, tried to be just totally obliterated and made useless by, you know, governments and people and actually different religions of the world, and yet it has still, you know, surfaced as, again, divine, persevering through all that. Then we also looked in week four at the history of Bible translation. So we looked at how, you know, the root systems of the different translations that we have, where they came from. You know, whether it was the older translations or whether it's the new modern translations. We looked at charts and everything else on, you know, where our translations came from. And then how also the various levels of accuracy that different translations have. You know, whether it's more word for word or thought for thought or, you know, just an outright paraphrase, which, as I mentioned, Bert mentioned one time when I mentioned the Message, is a commentary, okay? So that's actually not a translation of the Bible, so know which Bible you're reading. And then finally, in the last lesson, we started this Bible study tools talking about, or actually showing how we are the only generation in the whole history of the world, and not only just the only generation, but literally like the last 20, 25 years in the history of the world that has this amount of Bible information available to us via the web. We talked about that and how, you know, geez, it's like, what would the Puritans have done with that? What would Luther have done with that? What would the Reformers have done with that? What would Bible translators have done with that? So, you know, again, we just looked at that. So that's where we've been thus far. And I'm encouraged, by the way, because, again, the idea of this whole lesson or this whole series is to help us literally just read and study the Bible more. That's the point. We need to be obedient. You know, I quoted R.C. Sproul one time where he said the reason we need to study the Bible is because we're commanded to. It's a matter of obedience. So while we'd like to talk about the soft issues of, you know, growing closer to Christ and all that, which is definitely valid, you know, there's the other side of the fence too, where, like, you know, R.C. Sproul says, we are commanded, and Scripture says we're commanded to study the Bible. So I'm encouraged that since we've gone through this series, I mean, there's actually one guy in the class who has mentioned that being into the Bible more, like, you know, trying to, like, really get into the Bible every day now. There's another lady in the class who's literally gone out and bought a new Bible that will help her study, that's more of a study Bible that has a lot of good tools in it, which we'll review again today. So that's just encouraging to me. So I hope that through this series that it's making you think more and prompting you more to read the Bible more and to study the Bible more. Are there any other reports, by the way, of anybody who has moved a little bit versus where you've been, Laura? Okay.
Yeah, I started reading the Bible before I look at social media in the morning. And it was a week or 2 weeks ago, God convicted me on something that came from here, to the church, to Pastor Bob, then my husband. It all circled around, and then I could see it.
Yeah.
And it was like a beautiful thing, painful thing, but beautiful thing, and great changes coming from it.
Good. So. Okay. Hey, anybody else that's had any...
My wife and I have been reading four chapters a day at night, and four books. So we're going to four books
a night?
Not the whole book. One chapter.
This dude really drank the Kool-Aid.
One chapter from every book. So we're on one book to the other. One chapter. And so, like I said, Genesis will read one chapter, Mark will read one chapter, Job will read one chapter, Romans. But we're bouncing around with that, and it's kind of exciting because you're reading a chapter, and then you're going to the other book and reading the chapter. It's like, wait a minute, I only read one chapter. I want to know what's going on. So we got to wait till the next day to see what, you know.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, I know. But,
it's like I heard somebody say sleep is overrated. So.
But it is. It's actually because I believe Mike handed out the sheets, or you check it off, and so you can read the Bible in a year. And we missed it one day, so that's kind of good, because then the second day we got to read more to get more of a story. But it's exciting because you look forward to the next night. And my wife and I, we never read the Bible together. You know, I would read a little bit here and there. She'd read a little bit. So now we're doing it together.
Good.
And it's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
It's got me to the point where after we do this, I want to, instead of, I don't know if it's the correct way, but I want to read one whole book.
You can do that?
Yeah, I know. I'll just do that.
There's a verse in Proverbs that says, don't do that. Just read a little bit.
You're absolutely right, Dave.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Yes, he's absolutely. I can read with my wife and still do a book.
We can give you a new checklist.
There you go.
What I'm doing is I started on the way to work, and then I finish it, a book.
Okay.
It doesn't matter which one. If it's a short one, I'll do more than one, but I listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, we're going to talk about that today. So. Terry.
I listen while I'm crafting.
Okay. And you didn't do that before. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so this is super encouraging. So I, you know, as somebody you know, who teaches and stuff like that. Honestly, it's like one of my biggest heartfelt desires in teaching is that I help you guys have more of an interest for the Word. That's really at the core of it. So it's very encouraging to me to hear that. So.
Bible app and it texts me a verse of the day every day throughout the middle of the day, and it's like right in the middle of my work day, it's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, where we're going, so that's where we've been. Where we're going is today we're going to do part two of the Bulls, which will be the end of that. And then for the balance of this series going through March, we'll talk about Bible interpretation, Bible hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a big word for basically, you know, methodologies and principles of interpretation. So we'll talk about Bible interpretation, Bible hermeneutics. And then I'll also try to keep a little bit of an eye toward genres of the Bible as we're doing that. Genres meaning, you know, poetry, history, wisdom, prophecy, you know, et cetera. So that's where we're at. So today is going to be just a super practical follow-on to the last time. Again, we're going to look at some tools. Can we get that thing turned on? By the way, if you guys have something along the way that you find helpful or you found helpful that you want to mention as like an augment to something that I'm showing, feel free to lift your hand and mention it. So, and again, I'm just showing you some tools that I'm familiar with. There's obviously tons and tons of tools out in the generation that we're in, but I'll show you some of these basic tools and just basic ways that you can use these things to an advantage, okay? And one of the things, too, that is sort of like a common theme in some of this stuff is I jotted matters, okay? The reason I think speed matters when we're talking about studying the Bible or reading the Bible is if we're people that really aren't that familiar with it, and it's really tedious and it's taken us forever to find stuff and it's taken us forever to look at stuff, what does that do? It just sort of like discourages you from pressing on. So it's another real big reason why, and I don't have it in your handout, but I'm a real big believer of putting tabs in your Bible. Okay, so book tabs in your Bible. So when we're in church or whatever and Bob says, hey, you know, look at this verse, we can go flip, boom, and we're there. Like we're not sitting there looking, you know, where whatever is, you know, for 3 minutes, and then by the time we're there, Bob's already like, you know, three steps down the road. So speed matters. And so when we talk about Bible tools like this, one of the reasons I like them is that it's just very, very fast. So as an example, I'm going to bring up, this is BibleGateway.com, and I'm doing a mouse on an angle here, which is weird. So if we do John 3:15 as an example, just to look something up here. And you can see it's in the NASB. Get this out of the way here. It's in the NASB up here. So what you have over here is you got John 3:15. You've got, it's in the NASB. You've got the verse mentioned right here. Here's one thing that's really cool is if you scroll down, and by the way, over here to the right, you got all this other stuff. Study this over here. Can everybody see this, what I'm doing? Study this over here. If you scroll down, there's all kinds of tools here with, you know, different commentaries and so forth. So it's all free. This is all free. Yep. So if you look down here, and this is sort of like hidden way down at the bottom, but if you click on this, what it's going to do is it's going to show you John 3:15 in every English version. Okay. Which is really cool. So if you're studying something and you're looking at a word or a phrase or whatever, and you're saying, man, I need a little bit clarification how it is laid out in every other version, okay? So that's just really helpful. Oh, and by the way, here's a tool that I was looking for. This is the good and the bad of the web world that we're in, okay? Like, you're going to be hit every time you go on a site like this with this and that and this and that and this and that, and your eyes are going to go, whoa, and you're going to want to wander all over the place. Just be mature and make a mental note that you can go back later and look at that stuff, okay? So don't let this mess you up in what you're doing. Another thing you can do here, for instance, instead of putting in a Bible verse or a book of the Bible, is you can do like a phrase lookup. Like Hebrews 1 says, God who at sundry times the divers manners spake at time past and fathers by the prophet had leave to say so and that's why his son, blah, 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 blah. And it says he sat down. Okay? It says at the end of that he sat down. And I happen to be looking at, which also says he sat down. And so I was wondering, where else in the Bible, in addition to Hebrews 1, is that mentioned? So I go here, I plug in sat down, and if you notice, it says right here, there are 47 Bible results for sat down, okay? And it starts to list them, if you scroll through, it lists them starting, okay, I quit doing this with my finger, with Genesis right here, and goes right down chronologically from Genesis to Revelation, okay? So that's another way you can use this to look up a phrase. Here's another really cool thing. If you look over at the right-hand side, it says filter by, and it's defaulted to all. So you've got everything from Genesis all the way down to Revelation. But if you know that, hey, I know that it was somewhere in the Old Testament, it was somewhere in the New Testament, back to speed, you don't have to look at all these things. I could scroll down here and just say, you know what, I just want to see the New Testament ones. I want to see where sat down is mentioned in the New Testament. And there they are, right there. So this just helps you with your Bible study. And by the way, we're still in the NASB, if you notice right here. If you want to look at a different version, there it is. So Bible Gateway, to me, is a really, really simple and helpful tool. I use this all the time. It's just very, very helpful. BibleHub.com is another one. If we look at BibleHub.com, again, if I plug in John 3:15 into this, and these are all on your handout, by the way. So.
Can I just share something real quick about Bible Gateway, too?
Yeah.
So when I'm doing Bible studies and my study takes multiple references in the Bible, I don't have to look each individual one up. I can type in, you know, John 3:15, comma, Psalm 35, comma, whatever. And it'll bring every one of those verse up instead of having to go quickly, you know, I can go quickly through instead of going through the, you know, different passages in the Bible itself. It's just a really helpful tool to see.
Yeah, and to Tracy's point, I'm just showing like a few basic things here. That's the point. There are like tons of capabilities in these web tools. So the more and more you want to like poke around and look at stuff, and this one here, like as you can see, is like super busy. There's tons of stuff here. For starters, I'm going to show you something specifically first, and then we'll go backwards. But for instance, here's John 3:15 in Bible Hub. Over here on the left, it shows you a lot of different versions. Over here, it shows you a study Bible. Here you have cross-references right here. One thing I use this for a lot, and this is like, is Becky Branch here? This is right up Becky's alley, too. If you notice, there's all these versions across the top, and then there's all this stuff here. There's sermons, topical, Strong's Concordance, blah, 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 all this stuff. This right here, this interlin, stands for interlinear, okay? If you click on interlinear, what it's going to do is it's going to bring up John 3:15. Interlinear, by the way, is just basically taking the contemporary against the original language, okay? So if you're in the New Testament, it's Greek. If you're in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew. And what it's going to do is it's going to bring up the actual Greek here. How many times we study the Bible and we're like, wow, I wonder what that word really means? Like we're going to quote a verse here in a little bit that talks about hating your parents. And it's like, okay, what does that mean? You know, I hate my parents, like, you know. We want to go back to the original and say, well, what does it really mean? So for instance, if I was to look at like this word here, so that everyone believing, okay? And by the way, the Bible, when you look at the word believe, the word faith, those are replete throughout the Bible. And I'm telling you right now, your entire theology will hinge on how you interpret those words, okay? We'll get into that right now, but trust me, it will. So if I click right here on 4100, which is the Strong's number for that word, okay, what it's going to do in a minute is it's going to bring up some information on that word. So here, it's the 4100 stands for the Strong's reference number in the Strong's Concordance. The original Greek word is pistuo. It actually mentions how to, you know, phonetically spell it here. But here's the thing. It really means right here to believe or to entrust. So think of these as clues. Okay, these are clues to better understanding that word in that particular section of scripture, Okay? If I was to look, like I'm camping on the word believe right now, if I was to look at another passage, which is Proverbs 14:15. And then I look and it says, and if you notice, this is backwards because Hebrew is backwards. Sometimes it's forward, sometimes it's backwards. But right here, if you notice this word believes right here, it's not 4100. It's 539, but look at this. If it loads. To confirm or to support, right here. So this is a different meaning than to trust or to entrust. When we talk about believe, we talk about faith. You can believe in something like, I believe in George Washington, but I also believe in Jesus. There's a difference. That's what this is getting at, okay? So these are just good tools. Don't want to spend too much time on this, but these are good tools to do some research. Yes?
I've got the iPhone and the app on it, and it gives you the interlinear options. You can do all of that from the app and not get all the ads.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. No ads.
Samsung, but for iPhone, it's on there.
Yeah, okay.
It's on Android as well.
Is it?
It's an app.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
This website doesn't have any ads, so I think I'd prefer
it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see any ads on Bible Hub. If we go back to the beginning of Bible Hub, just the main page for Bible Hub, the other thing too here is if you notice, there's just this website just has a ton of information. And down here, you will see concordance right here. See that? If you click on concordance, and I haven't played with this yet, but Eunice said, because I was looking for a multi-version concordance, whole different thing when you stop and think about it. It's really helpful if you can look at a multi-version concordance. This here says this is a multi-version concordance with a bazillion entries, and you plug in your word right here, and it's going to do a concordance search on multiple translations, multiple versions, okay? So again, just more helpful stuff. Another thing, speaking of phones, where's my phone? I'm not even going to show it to you. There is an app for the phone called the YouVersion of the Bible, okay? Really, really helpful app. If you just go to the App Store and look for it, there's a lot of free Bibles these days, but the YouVersion of the Bible is very, very helpful. In fact, right here, I'm going to show you something. On the YouVersion of the Bible, one of the things I like is that it's got a timer on it. So you can listen, like some people here mentioned, like listening to the Bible. It's great for audio because what you just click on, you know, basically a little audio icon, and it's going to play for you the audio of that. So I listen to that when I'm getting ready in the morning, you know, whatever. It's like super easy that way. Another thing you'll notice if you go there is in the upper left-hand corner, when you're on a page, it's got a little icon, like a compass icon, which takes you to Bible Project. Okay, this is Bible Project. This is not the app because I'm not on my phone, but this is the Bible Project stuff. Has anybody, who here has seen Bible Project stuff before?
It's awesome.
Okay, so just a few hands. So I'm glad this isn't redundant, but this, she just said it, it's awesome.
It gives you a whole overview.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just go ahead and play you a clip from, Bert's going to be in 1 Peter, so here's 1 Peter.
The first letter of Peter. His name was Shimon, or Simon, when he first became a follower of Jesus, and he was part of the inner circle of the 12 disciples. When he made his confession that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus changed his name to Kephas, which is Aramaic for rock, which was later translated into Greek as Petros, or Peter. Jesus promised that he would become a leader among the apostles to guide the messianic community in Jerusalem through its earliest years, and that's what happened. Remember the early chapters of the book of Acts, and harassment from their Greek and Roman neighbors. And so Peter wrote letter that these Christians he's writing to are Gentiles. But here he describes them with phrases from the Old Testament, the Spirit. God's inviting all people into a burns away false hopes and distractions like a purifying fire, and it reminds us of our true home and hope. And so paradoxically, life's hardships actually deepen our faith. They make it more genuine. Life on the way to a new future.
So what this There's does, let me try to find a section that shows the layout.
If it's oppressive. Yes, he acknowledges. Their persecution, their suffering is unjust.
Part of you
but violent resistance
called,
Bible
solves
Project?
Nothing.
Not to mention that
Bible
it betrays
Project?
The teachings of Jesus
you've
who loved his enemies instead
has
of killing
a link
them.
To this when you
Peter
look
then
up
specifically
a
the highlights the very difficult so. Situation that Christian slaves and wives faced when they lived in Roman households where the patriarch did not follow Jesus. The problem was that it was expected that everyone...
So the point being is this tool, really neat tool that gives you just a little overview of a book of the Bible in like 5-10 minutes. But it's just a really cool little tool. So hold on a second. Heather.
I got a little bit of a word of caution about YouVersion because I've been using it for years.
Okay.
There's also a lot of devotions on there and they're owned by some very solid people on there as well. So
right.
So be cautious about the devotional part of it.
Yep.
There is some stuff on there that's sketchy.
Thank you. We're gonna talk about that if we have time.
Did you say this was not part of YouVersion? Because
this is referred to in the YouVersion part, the Bible app.
Looking up the scripture, is that what I
exactly.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. If you go there, it's gonna bring this up for wherever you're at, Brian. Okay. Yep. Okay. Was there another hand up over here? Okay. Yes. So again, there's good tools, Jim.
I was saying the Bible Project is actually they also have a podcast. I think they do it weekly. And if you have a podcast app, you can hear them talk about all kinds of stuff. If you like what they talk about.
Sure. Okay. So there's a podcast for the Bible Project. So.
Bible Project's podcast.
Okay. So as we're hearing, I mean, there's just a ton of stuff. By the way, you could do this instead of watching TV.
Amen.
So just throw that in. So in a what's that?
What?
In addition to the on, we still have paper. These are real good tools still to use. Okay. One of the really really good basic tools that we is probably 50, 60 bucks, and it's worth it. You're going to spend more than that eating out this week, okay? So, you know, spend good money to get a good Bible dictionary. This here happens to be the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, new and enhanced edition. It is just really good for providing, like, introductions to books of the Bible, overviews of the books of the Bible, things like that. One example, let me see here. Yeah, the other thing, too, is historical backdrops. It's going to give you that. If you notice, by the way, when Bob preaches, Bob does a really good job of giving you historical background, and that really makes his sermons and the understanding of the Bible better. And that's one of the things you're going to get in a really good Bible dictionary. If you take the time to get one and read it, is it's going to really give you a good backdrop so you understand things, you know, better. It's a contextual backdrop. Understand, you know, who wrote the book, who were they writing to, what are they trying to say, why did they write it, you know, all that kind of stuff is in a really good Bible dictionary. Yes.
You sort of bring up beautiful Bible study books at home over the years at library book sales.
Yeah.
A lot of people get them for anywhere from $1 to $5 and beautifully bound.
Yep.
And so those of you on a budget, like we are, the Clinton Macomb Libraries having their huge April library sale, and they have a whole table devoted.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful. You have to know.
Sure, sure.
You have to be discerning. You have to know who you're looking for and this, that, and the other. But you can just get treasures.
Right, totally. Garage sales, too.
And Facebook Marketplace, I saw a strong sale for $5.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Facebook Marketplace. Right. But I mean, if you're a person who likes to go and look,
right.
Mm-hmm. Either way. But, I mean,
there's a book I'm going to show you in a minute that I got that way. It was probably $5, but right. I use it all the time. It's really good. Just one example of like how you can use a Bible dictionary. Okay. One time I was actually reading Hosea 6 and 7. And it says in there, we won't get there right now, but what shall I do with you, Ephraim? What shall I do with you, Judah? And I thought, okay, I need to just get a little bit better understanding of Ephraim, okay? So I went to my Bible dictionary, and I looked up Ephraim, okay? I won't read the whole thing because there's a whole section on it, okay, which is good. But here's this one little section that says, often the name Ephraim was used for Israel because of its size and its leadership role. So it just helps me to go, oh, okay, I get it now. We're talking about Israel. So then when I went on to read more of Hosea, chapter 6 and into chapter 7, and you have that understanding, it just gives you a much better view of what's really happening in the book. So again, Bible dictionaries can just be very helpful for those reasons. Another thing that you want to have, and you don't have to have this physically as much these days because you can definitely do this online, but you definitely want a good exhaustive concordance, okay? This is the old weapon, Strong's Concordance, exhaustive, which has every book of the Bible in it. And by the way, you can get concordances now on King James, ESV, other versions of the Bible. So chances are the version that you use, you can get a good concordance, or you can look it up online as well and get that. But you definitely want a good concordance. Can somebody tell me why you want a good exhaustive concordance?
So you can see where each word is used each time in Scripture.
Okay. So like maybe if you're doing cross-reference studies on words.
It gives you a good idea how the word is used. Because sometimes words have a little bit of difference depending
yep.
on the context.
Yep.
And that gives you a better understanding.
Right. Exactly. Therese.
I like to use when I know a memory. I have a verse in my mind.
Yeah.
I know this verse. Where is it? I can't
yeah.
give you the address. So then you can, you know, think about the way it's written out.
Right.
The verse. And you can, so if it's got the word faith, you can go to faith.
Yep.
You can see all the references for faith.
Okay? Yep.
And then you can say, oh, well, like I said, I know it's in the New Testament, or I think it's in the book of Hebrews, or the book of James, you know, whatever it is. You can hear it and you get the address. That's the way I know it.
Right. Yeah, and the other thing, too, that a good concordance is going to show you is next to, like, let's say it lists one word 50 times because there's 50 appearances of it in the Bible. It's going to give you the Strong's original language number next to it. So you'll be able to see, back to understanding differences, same word, different meaning, you'll be able to see a hint toward that in the exhaustive concordance. So then you can go up and look up that original language word. Does that make sense? So, okay. Another thing, too, that is, I don't have one here, but I have one in my Bible, which is non-exhaustive, is a lexicographical aid. Another thing that you really want to focus on is a lexicon or a lexical aid. My Bible happens to have like a non-exhaustive lexical aids in the back of it, which is really helpful. My Bible is called a Keyword Study Bible. And that's just really good because that is a non-subjective description, a lexicon is, of words that go beyond something that's just a static definition, like a Webster's definition of a word. A lexicon is going to give you just a little bit more non-subjective information on what something means. Okay, so a lexicon is a really good thing too. If we look at, for instance, Galatians 4:19 says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Okay? That word formed is 3445 in the Strong's. So what do? I look up my lexical aid. And in 3445, I see that it's the word, and I'm not going to say this right, but morphuo. And it says to form, fashion. Originally, it says of artistic, of artists who shape their material into an image used only in Galatians 4:19.
It ties with Ephesians 2:10, where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus is poem.
Yeah, of artists who, is God artistic?
Oh yeah.
Are we being formed that way into the image of Christ? Is that what that means? You know, it's just very helpful. So again, that's a lexical aid or a lexicon. I'm going to go pretty quick here because I'm almost out of time, but the other one is commentaries, okay? The only thing I want to say on commentaries, we talked about commentaries last time a little bit, is not to go to one of two extremes, okay? First of all, we don't want to put all of our faith in the person who is writing the commentary. We just talked about lexical aids or lexicons being non-subjective. Commentaries are obviously very subjective. So we want to be very careful when we're reading, even if it's somebody we really like and respect. The truth is, like we said last time, they're not Jesus, and they're flawed, just like we're flawed. So take what you're saying carefully. It's like the old saying, like, you know, trust but verify. Okay, so that's one extreme. We don't want to be lazy and say, well, John MacArthur, John Piper said, or even Pastor Bob said, it doesn't really, like, that's helpful, but that's not the gospel. Okay, that's one extreme. The other extreme is to say, and I had a guy in a men's Bible study one time that said this, he wasn't real big and he didn't care golfing on Sunday morning and sacred worship God on a golf course and so forth. And he sort of quoted, by the way, on 227, I have that ready. He would quote that and say, well, the Bible says that, like, you know, you have no need that man teach you. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he felt justified in, you know, teaching, preaching, you take it or leave it, you know, whatever. You know, that's the other extreme. Okay, who can read that verse? Somebody read it. Somebody have it? Go ahead, Marilyn.
As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him.
Right. So the anointing taught you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit teaching. Well, I have a question. Who gives gifts? The Spirit of God. So, if we're talking about teachers and preachers who are gifted by the Holy Spirit, do you think they could be part of the means to that end of that verse of teaching you? So we're instructed to listen to teachers and preachers, okay? So again, the two extremes, and we have a real propensity to do this, we always want to go to either this full side, and if we're mature, we try to practice balance, okay? We try to practice wisdom. So we don't want to go to one extreme on the commentary side and just take what everybody says, hook, line, and sinker. The other thing we don't want to do is just sort of discount everybody says. So I don't care what man says. I just read my Bible. Well, you should care what godly men that are gifted by the Holy Spirit say. But take everything into account. And by the way, the Bereans did that, and they were listening to Paul. So
in Hebrews 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Right.
As a manner of some is.
Right.
Exhort one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yes. Yeah. On that note of, like, doing your own deductive reasoning, I just want to throw out a little comment here that if you still have kids and you're raising kids, and I'm saying this because I know people that come from families who do this, okay? Don't ever answer your kid's question with, well, that's the way we've always done it. Or that's the tradition of our family. Or, you know, blah, blah, blah. When you stop and think about it, that's why the Pharisees freaked out, okay? Because somebody was messing with their tradition. We hear people say, well, once a Jew, always a Jew. Once a Catholic, always a Catholic. Once a this, always a that. Once a Pharisee, always, well, that's not a good answer. That's not a good answer to give to your kid. You want to encourage questions from them, okay? The worst one, I think, is for a parent to say, well, because God said so. There are certain contexts where, yes, we need to say God said so, so that pretty much settles it. But we don't want to use that as an excuse to be lazy. Take time to help our kids get into the Word and help them with the Word, okay? I'm messing around my notes here, so I'm a little bit out of line, but I just want to mention that. The other thing, too, last thing, I'll just wrap up with this because we're out of time. There are miscellaneous tools, miscellaneous books that you can get. This is what I was mentioning a minute ago from when Marta brought that up. This is called Everyone in the Bible. It's a really cool little book that is almost like a concordance of names, okay? So if you're reading on, like when I taught the James series a couple years ago, there are, like, you know, basically James is a really popular name. It's like Mike. So there's, like, tons of James in the Bible, and we want to know, like, which James are we referring to?
Right.
And so you can just look up James here, and the thing that's cool about this, too, is this is not subjective. You can tell by the yellow and all that stuff, it's old. But it's not subjective. Here's where they came from. Here's the one we're talking about. Here's what they did, blah, blah, blah. And then if you want to study it, you can go into all the scripture verses and look it up. and study it. So there's tons of little helpful tools like this. This is called Everyone in the Bible. You can still, even though it's ancient, you can still buy this online. I think it's like $15. So we're sort of out of time. So what I want to do is I want to just give a real quick summary. If you look at your handout, toward the bottom it says summary. What's need? I don't know how to speak. What's need for meaningful Bible study? What's need for meaningful Bible study? So number one, you have a quality study Bible. And if you look down at the bottom, I did this almost like a shopping list. So if you want to take this home and just, you know, keep it for reference of saying, you know, I want to go buy some good Bible tools. This is like something you can take with you to a store, take with you online to say, here's a cheat sheet. Here's a checklist of what I want. So with a Bible, you want a word-for-word or formal equivalency translation, okay? You want an overview of each book of the Bible. You want cross-references. You definitely have to have good cross-references in a good study Bible. There's editor's helpful comments and guidance, okay? I have that in my Bible, and it's very helpful. There's sometimes where, you know, you'll be in a certain section of Scripture, and there's a little key. You look down at the bottom, and he explains that. Now, granted, it's subjective, and like somebody said earlier, you have to, and I put down here at the end of summary, warning, research all sources. So no matter what you're reading, research all sources, okay? But anyway, back to the Bible. There's cross-references, there's editor's helpful comments, there's the non-original manuscript words are italicized. Any honest Bible will do that. I personally like the words of Jesus in red. I find that very helpful. It's not mandatory, but I find it very helpful. Over to the right, you see grammatical codes, okay? That's talking about different types of grammar. In the Keyword Study Bible, you're going to see a lot of listings as to tenses of words. And again, meaning can hinge on the tense of a word. You'll see literal word meaning notations, okay? We see that in a lot of Bibles. You'll see Strong's concordance numbers. You'll see non-exhaustive concordance and lexicon in the back of the Bible. And then bolded paragraph delineations. This isn't rocket science. Like, you know, you're probably wondering, why did I come, you know, I need to like to have my paragraph bolded in my Bible. But it's really helpful. It's just really, really helpful stuff. So again, back to the summary. You got a quality Bible, quality dictionary, concordance that is exhaustive, and a lexicon. And then from a web tool standpoint, I wrote it down there so you can look at it if you want when you get home. Bible Gateway, Greek and Hebrew original language resources, and Bible Hub. Commentaries. And by the way, I really hesitated to put this on there. I have gotquestions.org on there. Talk about something that's subjective. That's really subjective. So tread lightly, but I've just found that to be a very helpful tool. Who here has used gotquestions.org? Raise your hand. Wow, not too many. Okay. Gotquestions is like, It's a Google search, basically, that's from like thousands and thousands of references with hundreds and hundreds of Bible teachers and theologians and so forth that have answered questions. So you can go in there and say, you know, who was James? Who wrote the book of James? And you're going to get all kinds of answers from different people. And the good thing is it will tell you where it came from. Okay, so you'll have the reference, and you can go from there. So,
have you ever read anything on there that you were...
I have it on here because I do think it's a really good solid source. I'm just being cautious to say I can't vouch for everything on there. And there have been a couple times where I've seen things on there that are a little questionable. But to be honest, I don't agree with MacArthur on everything. I don't agree with R.C. Sproul on everything. You probably don't agree with me on much. Bob may say stuff that you don't agree with. That's the nature of our faith. Like when Jesus comes, then we'll agree with everything. Okay? But until then, there's going to be things that we disagree with. But they're still valuable.
There's good. No space, right? You've got questions. You haven't got space.
Yeah.
The church library is a rarity.
Yeah.
In a very fine library. So a good starting place to see what you should be looking for. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right downstairs.
Yeah, and everybody that works in our library downstairs will tell you if they don't have it, they'll get it. So they're very actually passionate down there about getting our people in our church tools to use. So they're more than happy to order stuff.
Ruth Ann normally beat Amazon on Christian books down there. So if you want to buy it, you can order it from Ruth Ann, and usually it's cheap.
Right. So, all right, that's the fire hose. Any final anything?
I was going to say, that's one thing about memorizing the books of the Bible in order. You know, instead I always have, you know, if you memorize that, you know your Bible that way, it's a lot easier to find.
True.
You don't have to think about it.
True.
Don't use tools making you lazy. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Besides all those things you need to see, the Bible needs to come with an open heart and a right heart and a cut heart. It doesn't do any good to check your lists off of, I read the Bible. If you aren't doing it with the right frame.
Yeah, to Nancy's point, I like teaching hearts, not heads. And I sort of, when I do this, it's like, but it's helpful. So,
stuff you have to keep straight. I always was reminded early on, hey, the author of the Bible wrote the Bible as a book for dummies. You know what? The main points are in there, and even I can understand them.
Totally.
And the harder I have to study to try to find some special teaching, probably the wronger I am.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not looking for special teaching.
Right.
You're looking for truth.
That's the way I think.
The scripture literally says that nothing is of any private interpretation, so just stop that right now. You're trying to go to the truth of the Word of God, and all these tools are just arrows that help point you there. That's all they are.
Yeah,
so did somebody, Heather?
For those of you that listen to the Bible, there's an app. I happen to come across Matt Chandler recommended. It's called Dwell, and it's awesome. I love it. Like you can change the voice and there's different books of the Bible and it's a beautiful
And by the way, if just last subjective comment here, she just mentioned Matt Chandler. I'm not saying anything bad about Matt Chandler at all. But there's other guys that were good and now they're bad. Mm-hmm. So it's like be careful who you're listening to. So it's like, well now wait a minute, what did they mean back when they were supposedly in good graces? So just be careful.
Purpose of the Bible says that these things were written that you might believe.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of the Bible, to bring us to faith in the truth.
Right.
And so it's just not an information thing. It's
right. Yeah.
A heart.
Yep. Exactly. Thank you. We are dismissed.